Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be here with my friends. I thank you for the opportunity to relish in your presence. We ask that your presence would be made manifest in a greater dimension in our lives. In Jesus' name. Ronnie mentioned the word presence when she came up and started exhorting us about getting into the presence of the Lord. And the title of my notes is presence. Because there's a lot out there that's trying to get us distracted from his presence. The one scripture that I've really been harping on for myself and our church is, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Serve pancakes. Trust in the Lord. Serve pancakes. I worked in a soup kitchen 16 years. Ran a food pantry for 7. It's a great thing to hand somebody who needs some food. When you do it to the least of these, you do it to me. So shall thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now, for many years, that scripture didn't resonate with me. Don't fret with the Lord, and you'll get a meal. I'm like, well, I can get a meal when I'm happy. I can get a meal when I'm... What does that mean? And I'll be fed. And it means that you will be stable. And when I think of being stable, I think of that hymn that is, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. See, when you start fretting about things, and look, I know there's a lot to fret about. We were talking about some frettable things last night. I mean, if you want to fret, watch the news for an hour. You'll start fretting. I probably watched the news 98% less than I did last year. It's important for me to have the joy of the Lord to be my strength. And Cheryl can tell you, one thing I'm good at is getting happy. I can get happy. If I'm upset, I can split firewood. For those of you who don't have firewood, I probably want to find something that you can go beat on something every now and then. And it gets it out of you. But the presence, Ronnie spoke about it. Hannah said, get out in the field. And what Hannah was really saying was, get alone with him. David spent time out in the field alone with him. And he learned how to do a lot of things. But he learned, most importantly, how to put everything aside and look up where his Redeemer's drawing nigh. David just said, spending time in his palace. Well, the reason you're spending time in the palace is to be with the king. So all this is gearing us towards the presence. And I think because I'm getting older, you know, when I was younger, I was a worker bee. And like Jeremy, I see a lot of that in you. I mean, but be careful you don't get involved so much in doing, John, good things that you don't spend time in his presence. We worked in the soup kitchen from 6 o'clock in the morning till many nights after midnight. And then you had to get up and get to the donut shop to get the day-old donuts to give to the people in the morning. It was busy. You show me your faith, I'll show you my works. Right? But nothing can replace your personal time in his presence. It's great to gather corporately like this. There's a whole different dynamic when you gather corporately. But there's nothing like spending time personally with your Lord and Savior, with Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I've got to go so he can come. Why? So you can spend time with him. I know people that spend many, many, many years building this up. And they're good speakers. And they've got a lot of wisdom and knowledge. That's not all there is. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with studying the Word of God and getting wisdom from the Word of God. That does not replace the presence of the Lord. Paul said, all that I've done, everything I've learned, all the wisdom I've gathered, I'll lay it all down in Philippians just to know him. Everything I have done in my lifetime, which is incredible, I count it as nothing without his presence. You know, I think about people like Paul, and what they did. And I always had a fear, like 20 years ago, I always thought, boy, one day when I stand before the judgment seat, I just hope Reinhard Bunke's not in front of me. I mean, the guy, how many millions and millions of people did he lead to the Lord? You know, John, what did you do? I mean, and through our ministry, we've had over 1,000 people get saved in the things that we've done. And I don't know how many got saved from them. I just don't, and that's a good number. But can you imagine being behind, right, and he's going to be with the Lord, so I don't have to worry about that now. Tens of millions of people. Fret not. Don't worry about that. David, the Lord said he was a man after my own heart. Now, you know, we've read stories about David. Imagine what CNN would do to David if he was running the country. Think about it. But what did he say? He cried out, "Take not thy presence from me." David learned out in the field, Hannah, how to be in the presence of the Lord and how to enjoy fellowship. Why did Jesus die? Why was the curtain rent? So that we could have access to the presence of God. If we are not doing that, then what are we doing? We're playing church. We're in the hamster wheel. We're busy. Don't get too busy that you don't spend time with him. I was just relating, you know, we'll be going again to the 13 colonies in a couple weeks. We zigzag across the southern part this next trip up to New Jersey, and then we'll be going up north later on. Richard and I wind up in the car, Richard Martin. You all know Richard Martin, the retired state trooper. And we wind up just praying in tongues. On the way to Georgia, it was a 19-hour drive because it was in inland Georgia. And I bet you we prayed in tongues at least half the time we were driving. I really think this is true. I've prayed in tongues more with Richard than I have English. Really, we ride in the car, we don't, you know, there's some soft worship, and we pray in tongues. Paul said, I pray in tongues more than you all. If it was good enough for him, it's good enough for us. Let me just hit a couple things, and then I want to bring up Shirley Goodness. Why is it important to have time in the presence? Because everywhere you go is affected when you bring his presence. It's not affected when you bring your knowledge or your charisma or your ability to speak. The hills melt like wax before the presence of the Lord. Psalm 114:7 says, "Tremble thou earth at the presence of the Lord." Doesn't say present, tremble earth at the DVD teaching. And they're good. Nothing wrong with them. But if we don't get good at spending time in the presence of the Lord, we will not be effective like he wants us to be effective. And I know there's many of you in here that want to make an impact in the kingdom of God. And the best thing I can tell you this morning is get good at getting into his presence. You're going out to work, take 5 minutes. We all want a cup of coffee, right, to wake up. While you're having that coffee, ask him to come. The first one always gets it all. My son Jeremy was the first grandchild. He was China. Precious. My second son came. He was plastic. Oops, we dropped Jonathan. Pick him up. Third one came, Julianne. She was Nerf. Get out. Go play with your brothers, you know. Here's China sitting right here. I mean, everybody's coming up. It's just so funny. It's so funny. But come back, Holy Spirit. If you're having problems with your flesh, get in the presence of the God. Guess what happens to your flesh? It melts off of you. If you're tired, how many of you have been weary seeing what's going on the past whatever time you want to look at? And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Exodus 33:14. Spend time with him. Guess what? When you spend time in the presence of the Lord, you wake up and you feel like you're 25 again. If you're 25, you feel 15, okay? I'll be 67 soon. Just had my 7th knee operation. Fell on the ice and kind of dinged my shoulder like John Marcus. You know, I was going like this. And I'd go to reach for something, and I go, I got it, you know. Life is not fair sometimes. Life can be upsetting sometimes. Spend time in his presence, and it doesn't matter. Nothing matters at the presence of the Lord. If you feel weakened and depressed, glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness in his palace. That's 1 Chronicles 16:27. So my exhortation to you before Cheryl comes up is that you would put a value on making sure that every day you spend time in the presence of the Lord. Not just on Sunday. It's wonderful to come. Worship was wonderful this morning. You could feel the presence of the Lord. Get good at doing that. That's why there's furniture in heaven named after King David. He got good at it out in the field when he was young. So Lord, right now I lift up everyone here. I lift up myself. Lord, help us to be experts. Skilled craftsmen at getting into the presence of the Lord. We bless you today, Lord. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you for the presence going out on the web in this in the replays. Let your presence be on the replay. In Jesus' name. Now welcome my blushing bride of 47 years, Shirley Goodness.
Hi, everybody. I was so excited today because when Hannah brought that word out, where is she? Oh, she's back there. When Hannah brought that word out about David, because that's what I'm talking about today, about David. And I want to encourage all of you. I've been reading the chronological Bible for the first time in my life. So it's all the Bible stories, but in order. And, you know, so it's kind of amazing, but where I'm really studying is 1 and 2 Samuel with King David, Hannah. So I want to just talk a little bit about that today. We all know about King David. He was a shepherd in the field, and God chose him to lead Israel over King Saul. Saul had been the people's choice in a sense, because they wanted a king. But Saul did not cherish the presence of the Lord. He did not honor the ark of the presence of God. He did not seek to bring that ark into his kingdom, into the reigning city, so that it would be a centerpiece for the nation of Israel in his kingship. And I think it speaks a lot about why he failed as a king. And then he tried to offer sacrifices, which he was not able to do. And I think we're going to see in a little bit in what I have to say is that sometimes there were other times in Scripture where God did allow things to be done that were not lawful. But the people that he allowed to do it were people of his presence. And there's something about us when we seek God's presence. It takes us into the future. It takes us into the more. It takes us into the wisdom of God. It's not just a head knowledge. It is beyond today. We see this with David because you remember at one portion of David's life, he brought the Ark of the Presence into Jerusalem. He brought it in, he built a tent for it, And they all stood around it and worshiped and prophesied. You weren't allowed in front of the ark. The ark had a curtain in front of it. And if anybody went beyond that curtain, they were struck dead. But not David and not the people that were seeking God's presence with him. And yes, he learned that presence in the sheep field. How did he learn it? By killing the lion, by killing the bear, by crying out to God when there was something that he needed to speak to him about, or when he needed to know something. He sought God. And what's amazing about this chronological Bible is in the Bible story about David in 1 and 2 Samuel, it interjects the Psalms that David wrote during his experiences, good and bad. And for the first time ever, I am putting the Psalm together with the story, and it's an intimate look into David's prayer life, into David's worship life. He would run into God when something was going wrong, and he would say, "This is all the things that are wrong, God. These people are gnashing at me with their teeth. They're chasing me down like a criminal. They want my life. They're cursing me with illness." I mean, amazing things David said to God. He was real. See, when we're in God's presence, it's about being real. Are you ever with a best friend? You're real. You don't have to worry that they're going to mistake your demeanor for something that it isn't. And that's what David did with God. He talked with him like he was his best friend right there. And God knew it. And so when things came up and David went to God, he had God's ear, but he had God's heart. They were friends. That's what it means to be in the presence. It means you're developing a friendship with God. That friendship will become more real to you than the person sitting next to you. And so David would tell God everything that was wrong, and then he would begin to speak to God and say, "But I know you so well. This is what you're going to do for me." Isn't that amazing? And God received it. He didn't reject it. He went, "Yeah, you know me. You really know me. And because of that, I'm going to do what you just said." And he did it every time. Isn't that amazing? And we can have that today. You see, David had that in a day when you weren't allowed to have that. You couldn't go in God's presence where the ark was. Only the high priest, only one man could do that, the high priest, no one else. If you touched the ark, you would die. Uzziah did when they were trying to bring the ark to Jerusalem the one time. And so developing this presence, this relationship with God, the presence of God means his face. That word means his face. Face to face. I've talked about that here. But here's a story I want to go over with you, because I think it's just amazing. Now, we know that David came out of the sheep fold and was called to minister to Saul. He would come and minister on his harp and lyre, or however you say that instrument, and when Saul would be troubled and tormented by demons. David would come into his presence and play, and those demons would leave him. Why? Because when David came in the presence of God, that presence of God ministered even to Saul. Isn't that amazing? So one day, David had gone back to his father, back to the sheepfold, and Israel was at war with the Philistines. And David's father said to him, "I want you to take a donkey load of food to your brothers who are in Saul's army." So David did it. And he got there to where the army was. And we all know that Goliath, the giant Goliath, nobody was fighting. It was weeks that they were in this place. And Goliath would come out every day and he would prophesy against Israel. Prophesy through a false god and say that Israel was going to be defeated and that they were dogs and all kinds of stuff like this. So David gets to the camp and he is used to being in the presence of God and honoring God and telling him how awesome he is. And this Philistine comes out and starts cursing God and cursing his people. Well, something rose up in David. Just like when that lion or that bear came to get David's sheep. You see, the sheepfold isn't always pleasant and sweet. We learn to war in the sheepfold. Because God's saying, you've got to protect this. Lift up your sword or lift up your slingshot or whatever it is. We learn to war. Because in warfare, we overcome the enemy. And so David says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Why isn't anybody doing anything about this? He's saying things against the army of the living God. And David's brothers said to him, shut up. Who do you think you are, you little pipsqueak? You're arrogant, acting like you can do something about this. I mean, his brothers got mad at him. They felt like he was being, presumptuous. Have you ever prayed strongly about something and people didn't like the way you prayed? You prayed too loud. Who are you to tell the devil to get off of anybody? Listen, that's just what David's brother did to him. You don't war like that. You just be sweet. No, I'm sorry. David in one scripture said, knock out their teeth. In one scripture, he said, wound them in their hindered parts. Well, I'm not going to say it. But you know what I mean there. So we know the story that David, Saul called for David. And he said, let the kid do what he thinks he can do. And he put his armor on David. And David couldn't do it. He couldn't use somebody else's anointing to do what he had to do. He had to use the anointing that he had gained in the presence of God. And so he went out with that slingshot, picked up 5 stones, and we know the story. He threw that stone, and it hit Goliath in the forehead and knocked him cold. And David ran to Goliath, grabbed Goliath's sword. It says, struck him through and then cut off his head and took the head to Saul. That ain't pretty. You know what I'm saying? It's not pretty, but that's what warfare looks like sometimes. Sometimes we have to be that violent with the enemy in our life. You know, we're praying for Emmy. We've got to be violent against that spirit of death and infirmity that tried to take her out. We've got to be so full of the power and the presence of God in our life that we're like David, grabbing that sword and taking that thing out once and for all. And so we see from that point on that David is brought into Saul's house to be there with him, and he becomes a leader of his army. But Saul gets jealous of him. Saul gets jealous. Why? Because he sees the favor on David. When we are in the presence of God and God is our best friend, we're clothed in favor. It's like we've got the best friend in the whole, the bestest friend in the whole world. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He has the well that never runs dry. You know, I mean, all these things we can say, but it's a friendship. It's not a user relationship. It's a friendship. You know, in the Bible, one of the things in the tabernacle was the bread of the presence. The bread of the presence. It was 12 loaves of specially made bread. They had a gold-covered table with it. And the bread of his presence was made with the finest flour, olive oil, and some frankincense. And they would lay these 12 loaves, two rows of six, and those 12 loaves of bread would face the Ark of the Covenant for a week. And at the end of the week, they would replace it with 12 more loaves, and only the high priest and his family could eat those 12 loaves of bread, because the scripture says they were the holiest of those type of offerings before the Lord. And what they represented was Israel before the presence of God continually. God was saying, it's my will. This is one of the holiest things to me, that you are before my face daily. It's called the bread of the face, is what it really means in Hebrew. And so we see David. David begins to run from Saul because Saul is going to kill him. Now listen to this scripture. Jonathan had just come, Saul's son had just come to David and said, I'm so sorry, David, but my dad is going to kill you, and you have got to flee. And so David did. He ran, and some men with him. And in 1 Samuel 21, verses 1 through 6, listen to this story. Well, actually, I'm probably going to go down through verse 9. David went to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. David was running from Saul for his life at the time. And Ahimelech trembled when he saw David and said, why are you alone? Why is no one with you? And David answered Ahimelech the priest, and he lied. He said, the king sent me on a mission and said to me, no one is to know anything about the mission I am sending you on. As for my men, I have told them to meet me at a certain place. Now then, what do you have on hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread or whatever you can find. But the priest answered David, I don't have any ordinary bread on hand. However, there is some of the consecrated bread here, the bread of his presence. You can have this, provided the men have kept themselves from sin. David replied, indeed we have. Since I set out, the men's bodies are holy, even on missions that are not holy. Isn't that interesting? How much more today? So the priest gave him the bread of the presence, since there was no bread there except the bread of the presence that had been removed from before the Lord and replaced by the new hot bread on the day it was taken away. That was illegal for David to eat that bread. But what was God saying? You've been in my presence. This has been you. You've been one of these loaves before my face every single day. You are allowed to eat of it. It was David, you see how he like time warped. Think of it in that way. Those of us that watch those type of science fiction movies, he time warped out of the season of a law into a season of great grace. And we can do that every day of our lives, if we are his good friends. And not only did he eat the bread of his presence and the men that were with him, but then it goes on to say, now, one of Saul's servants was there that day, detained before the Lord. He was Doeg the Edomite, Saul's chief shepherd. He was an evil man. We see this later because he killed every one of the priests. Killed, I think, 70 of them because they had helped David. That's scary. And David said to the chief priest, he said, don't you have a spear or a sword here? I haven't brought my sword or any other weapon because the king's mission was urgent. And the priest replied, the sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah, is here. It is wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you want it, take it. There is no sword here but that one. David said, there is none like it. give it to me. Now, why am I saying this? Not only do we get the bread of God's presence to eat every single day, but the weapons that have been forged in our life, in the victories that we've won prior to today, they forged a weapon in our hand. By faith, we know what God has done. And God gives us that weapon now to kill our enemies of the future. That sword that killed Goliath, that giant, and cut off his head, was given back to David that day. Why? Because he had stayed in his presence. And from that day on, God's favor came on David, and people knew that he was going to be king. And I just want to say this to all of us. We've been through a lot the last year, and we continue to go through things, not just COVID, but everything else on top of it. There's been trauma. There has been disappointments. There has been, you know, like you've been thrown off the cart sometimes because you think, why are things like they are? Think about how David felt. He had done nothing but good for King Saul, and Saul was after his life. But here we see, Hannah, what you prophesied today about this being in the presence. The being in the presence is what is going to give us the authority and the ability to take out every giant that comes down the road from today on. It's giving us the ability to stay clothed in the favor of God, to walk in that absolute, faithful, knowing deep on the inside that our bestest friend has everything we need and is willing to give every bit of that to us. Not because we deserve it, not even because it's lawful, but because he first loved us so that we could love him, and we just become the people of his presence. So just stand up. I want to bless you with that today, because this is where we're going. It's going to cause us to look at things differently than we've looked at it before. It's going to cause us not to rely on the old way of thinking how God works. You know, we get stuck in the way we think that God works. And God broke his own rule here. You see? Our relationship with God can cause him to break his own rule with us because he loves us. So, Lord, I bless this congregation today. I bless the greater congregation of New Jersey today, and even the 13 colonies today. I loose this word of the bread of his presence. I loose this word today of favor and friendship with God today out over this territory in the name of Jesus. Lord, for each one of us that are here today and listening, let us hear your voice as we come before you. Let us feel your presence. Let us sense your nearness. Let us discern your favor upon us, O God, where there may have not been favor in the past. Lord, give us an honor and a respect for your holiness. Help us to love you so much that we won't do what you say for us not to do, and that we will do what you say for us to do. Let it be out of a love for you that has come out of this friendship in the presence. And Lord, I thank you and praise you for this. Bless us today, Lord. Bless us today as we enter into the week of Passover. Lord, let us pass through all the disappointment, all the unbelief that has tried to hit us, all the fear, Lord, all of those things. Lord, let us cut off its head with a sword. that you've given us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.